It is time right now for Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership. First Friday of every month, we meet local partners who are working together to close the communication gap between parents and their children and help all young people in our community live healthy and productive lives. This week, we are talking about National Drug and Alcohol Fact Week, which is coming up later on this month, March 17th through the 23rd. And as it happens, we are joined in the studio, I believe, by the first parent and child combo that we've had on Bridging the Gap. So we're finally bringing this full circle. Christy Barker Cummings is the Eastern Regional Manager with Overdose Lifeline. Annalie Cummings is her daughter and a student at ECU. Christy, Annalie, thank you both so much for being with us today. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Doing good. So that was the quick intro. Tell us about yourselves and how you have gotten into this line of work and this larger issue.
Okay, sure. Well, I'm a parent to four children, Annalie being my second born, and I had a son who overdosed in 2018 and died as a result of that. And he was a student at Orange High School and a very high achieving kid, and it was a shock to me. So after that occurred, and after I picked myself back up, which took a long time, I have always worked in public health. I'm an epidemiologist, but I wasn't involved in behavioral health research at all. And I made a decision to change careers and work in this area. And I joined Overdose Lifeline, which is a nonprofit organization working across the country in support of other organizations, federal, state, and local, that are working in advocacy and education and treatment and recovery.
What are some of the specific initiatives that they have?
They do a lot of things where they're based in Indiana, but in terms of what's relevant for everyone and, you know, locally around here is that they have education, continuing education courses, but also community education programs, youth prevention programs, and family support programs for people who are facing a relative or, you know, a loved one with a use disorder.
Annalie, how about you?
So my brother was Kevin, and I obviously lost him in 2018 as well. We were super close at the time, so it was really strange that this could be a possibility for someone to happen to my family or someone that I knew. So I've always been an advocate against drug use and everything, and I think especially being in a similar age group, I really have a more immersive perspective because I see it all around me with people my age.
It's really remarkable. No one ever thinks it's going to happen to them or someone close to them, but the number of people who are touched by this is incredibly huge. I'm thinking about someone who's close to me who overdosed and died in 2020, and it happens to so many of us, and it touches so many families. National Drug and Alcohol Fact Week is later on this month. What should folks know about drug and alcohol use? What are some facts that people should know that maybe people don't and don't have that access to that information?
Well, I think one thing is what you hit on is when it comes to any kind of substance use. I mean, when I first had my children, the last thing I thought I would face would be a child who had addiction, especially to an opioid, and then, you know, an overdose. So you never say never. Be aware of the fact that addiction is not doesn't discern by socioeconomic status or race or gender. If it's available and the right person comes into contact with its susceptibility, they can become affected. So when it comes to, and that's all substances, when it comes to facts that maybe we don't know, I think maybe people don't know that every day 6 people in the country die from acute alcohol intoxication, from basically alcohol overdose. And in fact, in terms of it, of lifelong, it kills more people than fentanyl does every year in terms of alcohol-related diseases.
And this is the long-term impact of alcohol, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Annalie?
Yeah, I think I would say similar to my mom in that it could happen to anyone. I think we have a very idea of what an addict is supposed to look like or someone who struggles with abuse, but it could be anyone that you know. And it's really important to understand that these people have a disease and they can't really control the things that they are doing when they are in this state of mind.
What are some of the most commonly used or abused drugs? I think what people think they are and what they actually are, there's going to be a little bit of a difference between the two, right?
Right. I think like in college, what I see the most is like cocaine use and Xanax pills, that kind of use would be more than, well, alcohol. The most, absolutely, alcohol and marijuana. But then when we go deeper, I would say Xanax and cocaine.
Yeah, and I think it's important for the fact that we often, when we think of drugs, we think of illicit substances, and maybe first starting with marijuana, but we forget to include alcohol, which is a substance that alters your perception. It's another form and the biggest form of addiction. So,
speaking with Christy Barker Cummings and Annalee Cummings, it's Bridging the Gap presented by Orange Partnership, a community collaborative working to close the communication gap between parents and their children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. Orangepartnership.org is their website. And with that in mind, what signs should parents be looking for? What are some of the early signs that people should be on the watch for?
I think it's tough because the personality changes that come with adolescence and increasing independence are also can be signs of a problem. So I think trust your gut, and it's really looking for things like changing patterns of behavior and with friends, withdrawing, irritability, and just be vigilant. You know, don't be afraid to look around and ask your child questions and If you are worried about it, don't ignore your worry because it could be something.
I think that's important because the signs of that and the signs of just puberty are going to be pretty similar. So you have to be willing to trust your gut and keep asking and talking. I think that's so important.
And don't be afraid to reach out and ask others for help.
Mm-hmm. What are some resources that are available for that folks should know about?
I think it's a lot better now, especially with the awareness nationwide and in the state. There are a lot of treatment choices, both early intervention and actual treatment for teens and adults, all ages, with a use disorder. So I would start with, I think my thing is rather than recommend a certain source, go with evidence-based, reputable sources. So start at the state level, and there's a lot of resources listed. And also speak with your healthcare provider for advice as well. And then there are great nonprofit national level websites like SAMHSA.gov.
Mm-hmm. And Overdose Lifeline as well.
And OverdoseLifeline.org. Right? Yep. Exactly.
OverdoseLifeline.org is that website. Again, OrangePartnership.org for Orange Partnership locally. They're bringing us this conversation. Speaking with Christy Barker Cummings and Annalee Cummings, you mentioned early intervention. How vital is that for addressing this issue?
I think it's critical because there's a period where, for most people, it's something that's experimentation goes to become a habit, then can go into addiction. And it's a slippery slope. And early intervention can change that path. And it's a lot harder to go backwards, you know, to get out of it once you're in it, because it does. It permanently changes the brain structure and functioning.
I'm going to start wrapping up this conversation. What else should folks know that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet in this conversation? Annalee?
Maybe what's usually underneath everything.
Well, yes. I would say that we all think that maybe people just make these choices to do these drugs or alcohol or whatever, but there's something deep down that's really the true reason why they're doing it. So if you have a friend or someone that you know who's going through this, it's really important to talk to them and find out what's bothering them on a daily basis or what truly do they feel that makes them want to take these substances, because it's never someone who's just happy and excited about life who is in active addiction. They are struggling with something else.
Yeah. Christy?
I would say that's the most critical thing, is to know that generally addiction and substance use is born out of some other unmet need or trauma or unhappiness and or even a mental illness like anxiety or depression. And if you don't deal with that underlying source, addiction is always going to be a battle, and the person won't be happy anyway. So,
OverdoseLifeline.org for yes. Overdose Lifeline. And again, thanks for tuning in to Bridging the Gap, presented by Orange Partnership, community collaborative right here in our area, looking to close the communication gap between parents and children so all young people can live healthy and productive lives. OrangePartnership.org is their website. Christy, Annalie, thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.